So before we get started, let's just take a moment to just align and just bring ourselves present. So if you've been sitting all day, it's really nice to stand, just feet hip-width apart, and take a nice deep breath. And exhale. There's just something so simply divine about connecting to your breath, bringing you into your body, so that you have full access to all of your intelligence and brilliance. Disconnecting from the computer for a moment. And just settling into this hour with someone who's really masterful around the area of leadership and business. And many other areas too, but those are the ones we're going to be primarily speaking to today. And so just imagine yourself for a moment as the kind of leader whom you are truly ready to embody and become. And just notice what things come to mind for you, any ideas or thoughts that may come up that may seem contrary to that idea, vision, or image of being a leader. And being in business consciously, more aware, creating value and extraordinary content for your community and your clients, and knowing that the way that you lead your business impacts not only your clients, but impacts everyone whom they touch. And so as a leader, you are the ripple effect. You are the one that sets a different way of being into motion. And that's what we're going to play with today. Thank you, everyone, for being here. It's really my pleasure to have Bea Fields on the call today. I did meet Bea way back at Coachville, and she was leading an extraordinary community, and I learned quite a bit about her straight shooter style, extraordinary value and content, and someone who's truly authentic and transparent in her business and in her training. Bea is an executive coach, and she's the president of Bea Fields Companies. She's the author of two well-respected books, Millennial Leaders, Success Stories from Today's Most Successful Generation Y Leaders, and Edge, A Leadership Story. She has a much bigger bio, but that really says a lot about Bea, that that's the only thing that she sent me, something brief and to the point, succinct. Welcome, Bea.
Thank you, Adela. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I wanted to start off with this idea that maybe folks may not have considered themselves as leaders because they're business owners. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I can. I know that for years there have always been debates around, are you a leader that's born or are you a leader that is made? And I hold the position that in some aspect of life, we are all leaders. And if we are business owners, then we are leading our community, our consumers, our buyers, our employees, even if we don't consider ourselves, say, a charismatic leader or a world leader or a political leader. And so I think it's very important, especially considering the topic that we will be talking about today, to consider your own leadership and the impact that you are having on people that come in contact with your business, because we are now in a very see-through business world. There's not much that can't be seen. So I think it's important to really begin looking at the leadership skills that are going to be needed to really not just survive but thrive in the next decade, and then begin building those skills in your own life and in the lives of your family members, of your community, of your employees, and really in your clients as well.
So once you settle into the idea that you are a leader, no matter what it is that you're doing, whether you're leading a business, whether you're leading your own family, and you're stepping into this position of who you are as a leader, what are the factors, or what are some of the elements that are really key for people to consider?
As far as their own leadership is concerned?
Yeah.
Or
yeah, as long as their own leadership. So they're finding their way through through to leadership. It's a new idea, perhaps. They haven't seen themselves as a leader before. So what are some of those things that they can explore to really get a handle on their own leadership style, their own leadership way of being?
Okay. Well, I tell people that it's really difficult when you're in your own mind and your own body to define or describe what leadership qualities are attractive to other people. So you really have to begin noticing what it is that people reach out to you, or why people reach out to you. Why is it that people reach out to you? What do they come to you to ask you to help them with? And whatever those skills are that you're bringing to the table, whether it's that you're a servant leader or you're a great communicator or you're a great writer or you have charisma or you're a great decorator, it doesn't really matter what it is you are or whatever that skill is, you have to start looking at why do people flock to you. And we all have people that gravitate to us for a certain reason, and it's really important to start noticing the repeating patterns and why people come your way. And once you begin to really understand why it is people are coming to you, you can then start tapping into that at a bigger level of leadership. And a lot of people take for granted that they have a certain attraction point out in the world, and they dismiss the skill like, oh, well, everybody does that, or everybody has that skill, or doesn't everyone do that? No, that's just not the case. So it's about uncovering your strengths and really looking at what other people find is valuable in you and to begin honing that skill so that it becomes more alive and really embraced by you. And it could just be one skill, could be two or three. But I tell people, again, by looking at the one thing that people continue coming to you day after day to ask you about, and then see if you can get some feedback from a close contact or a coach or someone about what's this really all about and what can I do to cultivate this skill.
So once you get an idea in terms of feedback from people, whether it's folks in your community, your friends, your clients, and you have an idea of what these skills and these strengths that people flock to you for, how do you take that and play at a bigger level? How do you step into it a little bit more fully?
Well, Adela, let me just ask you a couple of questions about your own leadership style, because I think that will help demonstrate if that's okay.
Yeah, that would be great.
I can just work with you for a moment on that. It's very obvious from this telesummit that you have attracted a very large audience of well-respected speakers and also people who want to attend the conference. So what is it about you that you're bringing to the table that's getting all these people involved?
I think I just uncovered one of the pieces today. I was working with one of our speakers, actually, Michelle Nuray. I'm doing a training with him. And I was going on about, he's got this idea that what makes you crazy, what drives you crazy makes you great. So we were doing this exercise, and I was talking about how I had gone to a conference and how the leader at the conference was one way on the stage and then off the stage was another. And I had pointed out to an experience at a select gathering that we were having that there were a lot of missed opportunities in terms of making people feel connected and in community. And when we drilled down, the value, the thing that really was the biggest hit for me was authenticity. It's something that I've heard people say to me. They'll say, well, Della, you're really transparent. And I've noticed, B, that it's not only me. I'm noticing that with the folks who are in this telesummit, because I have conversations with everyone before the interviews, and we're all experiencing a lot of the same things. So I would say authenticity is a really big piece for me, and a meaningful connection. Those would be
okay.
The two big things.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you bring that up, because that's going to be one of the components on branding for the next generation that's really going to be critical that I'll be speaking about today. What is it about authenticity that you think is important to why we're here today and to the whole equation of life and business?
I think that we waste a lot of energy trying to be something other than who we are. And our true brilliance lies in our uniqueness and being who we are and not trying to be something like a model. Like one of the things that drives me crazy are the blueprints and the maps, you know, to be a millionaire coach. And I'm not saying they don't work. But for me, what really engages me is something that's authentic, that's unique, that I haven't experienced before. And I think that it points to this desire, this yearning that we all have to be seen, to be heard, and to be known.
Okay. And so if you were to take that thrust and that yearning and this skill that you have, and if you were to bump it up, say, 3 levels and start taking it out to a larger audience and really having this become a well-known part of who you are and what your business is all about, what would be the bigger push or development for you?
The bigger thing is what I'm scared to do and what I've already signed on to do because I know I'm scared to do it is public speaking.
Okay.
For me.
And if you were to, say, take the public speaking and just talk about authenticity 1,000 times, what kind of impact would that have in the world?
Oh, my gosh, it would have a huge impact because even just using my voice, you know, just a gathering of voices of people who are interested in this idea of conscious business and a new way of doing business, I've been able to get together a really great panel of speakers. And so I've got to believe, and I know because I attend conferences, that there's a huge difference when you connect with people in person. And so I think that you can connect and engage, and it's even more powerful to do it in person.
Got it. So that's just an example of what I'm talking about, Adela. And when it comes to authenticity, you could get really obnoxious and walk around your home and say, this glass I'm drinking with is not authentic. This doesn't look like me. It doesn't feel like me, so I'm going to trash it. I'm going to donate it. And the people that I'm spending time with, there are a couple of people that just aren't real authentic. I just don't think I need to spend time with them anymore. So you build your whole life, your whole message, your whole thrust in the direction of not just speaking about authenticity and reading and writing about it, but living it and eating it and breathing it so that people notice that in the world. And the next thing you know, they're saying, I want to be like Adela. I want to be like she is. I want to walk her walk. She doesn't just talk the talk. She talks and walks the walk. And so it's really taking one skill and stretching it out and finding really creative ways to have it come alive in your life and to have an impact on other people.
Oh, wonderful.
So you talked about sort of my straight shooter attitude. I'm a very straight shooter. That's why people like me. I don't try to hide it. I don't try to mess around with it. And so I believe that we waste a lot of time, as you said, being inauthentic. I'm a straight shooter. Why am I going to act like a touchy-feely person if that's not who I am? Now, I am very compassionate and I'm very empathetic. But when it comes to business and it comes to my clients, I'm not going to mess around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just not going to mess around. I'm going to say what needs to be said, and it's going to come out like sometimes it feels like a dart. But at the end of the day, when I end, a client say, thank you for pushing me. Thank you for being there. Thank you for caring enough for sticking it to me on occasion because I'm working with C-level executives. They've heard people say, yes, sir, no, ma'am, all day long. So, and I'm that way in my life, too. My family will tell you that she calls a spade a spade. You know exactly where she stands.
Yeah, and so people know who they're encountering no matter where you show up, B. And that's an economy of energy.
Right. Now, it can be intimidating. So I have to, it's sort of like when in Rome, do as the Romans do, but if I'm going to have to go into a situation where I can't be myself and call spade a spade, I don't need to be there.
Yeah.
And I do have a lot of friends, and they like me because I say what's on my mind. And I am respectful of other people. I don't say things that would be hurtful to other people. But I'm not going to withhold my opinion if I feel like I need to say it.
So, No, and yeah, and I think too that it doesn't have to be, you know, the brand of who you are is not something rigid, and it flows according to your environment and who you're around, and sometimes it's in the foreground and sometimes it's in the background. But I think that what you're pointing to in terms of taking those one or two skills or qualities that are really the brand of you, of who you really are in your business, and really going deeply into them, I would imagine that that really starts to give you a different sense of those specific qualities as they get colored by your experience of engaging them on an ongoing moment-by-moment basis in your life.
It does, and to me, it gives you a sense of purpose. It gives you a sense of doing things that really get aligned with who you are as a person, as a leader, as a community contributor. I'm a big community servant, so I know that I've got to be able to have people ask me to help based on who they know I am, not who they want me to be. So it really can help you have a driving passion, can give you a reason for moving forward, can help you really discern what I'm going to do or not do, and can be a guiding force that really can impact other people. But, you have to live it, and that really is going to be so true for next generation branding. For years, branding has been typically linked to a logo, brochures, websites, very colorful shenanigans. And we have a new generation of consumers coming into the workforce who are not just consumers, but employees who want to peek behind the brand that they see on television and in advertising, and they want to start looking inside the company to see, are you aligned with this brand? Are you walking the talk? We see this, you know, just do it logo on Nike. We want to look inside your company and see, are your people just doing it, or are they lying around eating potato chips sitting on a couch?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we're at a very critical turning point in branding. I think companies used to be able to hide behind a brand, and they could treat their employees any way they wanted to, and they could talk nasty to customers over the telephone, and they're like, we don't care, we're making billions of dollars, and you can't come in and investigate our brand. Those days are over. We now have blogging and the internet and forums and Facebook and MySpace, and all it takes is a few unhappy employees to start blabbing about your company on the internet, and the next thing you know, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be that consistent message in the public, and also if I'm walking into your company, I want to know that the brand I've just purchased is also thriving and living well inside the company. I don't want to see a mixed match. It's not going to work. And this next generation, they're all saying that if the brand out in the public doesn't match what goes on the inside, we will take you down. And there's about 78 million of them, the largest consumer group that we have coming into adult life, and they are very familiar with the concept of crowdsourcing, and they know how to go in and take a brand down if they feel like you're not really being authentic.
Sounds a little scary there, B.
Well, it's already happened. It's already happened on multiple occasions.
Yeah. And I know that we've seen these examples, whether it's, you know, clothing manufacturers who are using really cheap labor in third world countries, or, I mean, that's just one very, you know, flavor one that's been out there a number of times already. Are there any companies out there that you've noticed that are doing it right?
Yes. The companies that really stand out for me are some that, of course, Apple is a really big Gen Y brand. Gen Y loves Apple, and anybody that works for Apple will tell you they live, eat, and breathe Apple on the inside, but it's very, very, very hard work. You know, not everyone can work for Steve Jobs, but you know that they work hard, and you know that they live, eat, and just live and die for that brand on the inside. some of the smaller ones that I think are on the rise right now that I'm really, really impressed with and that Gen Y seems to be impressed with is, first of all, Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's has done an outstanding job of not only living the brand in their stores, but recruiting and operating their work centers based on the whole concept of buying the best, living the best, being the best, being a little bit quirky. Another one that falls sort of on the same line to Trader Joe's is Jones Soda. Jones Soda is way out there, quirky as can be. At Thanksgiving time, they have something called the Turkey and Gravy Soda. I haven't tested it, and I don't think that I want to. But their whole brand and the way they live inside the company is just wild. They drive this wild van all over the country, and they have internal forums, and their board of directors is made up of a bunch of teenagers. And so they're just having a great time all the way to the bank. And Gen Y loves Jones Soda. Another one is Method Cleaning Supplies. You're probably seeing a lot of these start to pop up in some of your chain stores. But Method was started by two young guys who decided they wanted environmentally friendly cleaning supplies and started making cleaning supplies in their bathtub. And they now have this very bright, fresh company that lives environmental friendliness. And they have this amazing forum of thousands of people that are they're out to fight dirt. I mean, it's just really interesting. They have the forum is called Join the Fight Against Dirty, and it's all about cleaning up the environment. And these guys are dead set on making it happen. And when I heard about the company, I thought this is cool and this is interesting. Well, I now have Method Supplies in my home. And never thought I would. So it's just, you know, it's really interesting to see how some of the brands are changing and the ones that Gen Y really wants to work with and for. Of course, Google, they get thousands of applications every day. Every young man and woman wants to work for Google. Again, very, very hardworking, but a lot of innovation, a lot of opportunity, a lot of crowdsourcing, a lot of global interaction, a lot of work when you want to, just get the job done, a lot of autonomy. So those are – Google's a big guy, but the other ones that I mentioned are probably going to knock out some major brands in the future, I believe, just because they're doing things so well on the inside of their companies.
Yeah, it really it's a new world out there in terms of marketing, in terms of business, and in terms of a sophisticated consumer. Because consumers now, whether they're next gen or not, people are just much more savvy today. You can just go on Google and get more information about anything that you want. And so you go out into the world to purchase or to engage, and you already are armed with a good amount of information. So I know we're throwing around some terms that perhaps some folks have never heard before, like next gen and crowdsourcing. Could you just give us a brief explanation of those two in particular, Bea?
Well, when I talk about next generation, I'm really talking about the age 22 to about 33 consumer. These are the generation, this is the generation that's on the rise. If you want more detailed information on next generation, you can go to nextgenerationbranding.com and read a little bit about the demographic. But we're talking about the consumers and employees that are coming into the workforce that have the ability to create a huge impact on not just branding, but leadership and social causes and so forth. This generation is really the kids of the baby boomers, and this is not to discount Generation X, which is the generation right ahead of them, but this group is so large, and they have such a unique mindset that we're starting to see advertising and branding really evolve and change to meet their needs. It's just incredible to me how quickly commercials are changing, how quickly branding is changing, the way the Internet's operating. And so you really can see the impact of a generation based on what's going on in advertising. So we're talking about that demographic that's about age, like I said, 22 to 33 right now. As far as crowdsourcing is concerned, that is a concept that is relatively new, but it's actually been around for about a decade. And it's the concept of bringing together large numbers of people in order to help develop out a new product or service, or really to develop a brand. And Gen Y is adept with this. The next generation is very adept with this because they are such consumers of online forums and social networking sites like Facebook. They know how to quickly tap into a large number of people for research and development purposes, or to get ideas to make a brand better, or how to use a blog to get feedback, how to pull together large numbers of people for an event. And so the concept of crowds is what crowdsourcing is getting crowds of people together in order to pull information in to make something stronger or better. A really good example of a company that uses this model really for most of its R&D is a company called Threadless.com, Threadless.com, and they use the concept of crowds to design T-shirts. And basically the way it works is you submit your ideas for a T-shirt design, and then the crowds and the public vote, and I believe it's every Monday they pick three or four new designs, and then those designs are made available on T-shirts in their stores. And it's working. These guys are just doing amazing work. They've been featured in every magazine you can possibly imagine. And they basically are running this business on just an idea of getting crowds together to vote on designs. So it's not a brand new concept, but it's pretty much how Gen Y likes doing business. It's by really getting involved.
Yeah, and by really, it seems to me like it's more, I remember the focus panels of, I did a couple of focus panels when I used to manage technology for a law firm, where, you know, some manufacturer or some company wanted to get some feedback on their product. But it was a very small group. And this seems like it's going more for like a consensus of like a really large group, and allows for a lot more vibrancy and variety and innovation, I would think.
It does, and IBM has done a really good job with this. They have something called the Innovation Jams, and they literally get thousands of people involved in the generation of new ideas, and it's amazing to watch, and it truly is shifting from, oh, let's just get a small focus group together to come up with a new idea, as compared to let's go global and get thousands of people involved in helping create this new idea, product, or service. And it may turn out to be something completely different than we had in our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where innovation lives. That's really out there on that fringe of innovation, is when you're getting very large numbers of people to bring in somewhat quirky, kind of quirky, offbeat ideas that seem to work. And one of the things I think is really interesting about the brands that seem to be doing really well right now is they do use a contest approach. Mountain Dew is a really big next-gen brand. They always have a contest going. Pepsi now has the Pepsi Challenge. If you go to most of the brands that I've mentioned, there's a contest of some sort going on. And if you get enough people involved in a contest, you can also watch consumer behavior just in that process. At the Super Bowl last year, I'm not sure how many of you recall, and I believe it happened again this year, but last year Doritos ran a contest, and they had thousands of people submit commercial ideas, and the winner won a prize. And I don't know if you remember, it was the guy that threw the magic ball into the vending machine and broke the vending machine to get the bag of Doritos out. But that was a homemade video, and it was using the contest approach, and Doritos did very well that year, very, very well, because they said, we're not going to come up with an ad, we're going to let the public come up with it. And so they had submissions, and then they had a cut, and then the public voted on the winner.
Mm. These are some great ideas, too. Thank you, Bea. So what are some of the other trends that you've noticed about Next Gen that we might want to be tuned into and dive into also?
Well, I think the typical norms of the group, I think, would be a good place to really begin. And they have some values and norms that they are really standing very solid on. And these are not new or different, but they're pretty evident in decision-making for this target market. And what they're saying is that we really want freedom in thinking. We want divergent thinking. We don't want old school thinking. We want a lot of different minds involved in decision making. And hey, Mr. Business Owner, we want to be involved in helping develop out your brand. We want our minds inside your brand. Mm-hmm. Essentially, we want to own the brand. And that's been pretty evident recently in the Windows 7
yes.
commercial where they've got the different people saying, and
mm-hmm.
I created Windows 7.
Right.
That's a really big calling card. Gen Y wants to be involved in developing your brand. They also want to know that your company is really dedicated to ongoing learning and development, and they want to be able to come to your company website or to a blog and be able to get bits and bytes of information, not long pieces of information, because this generation can't digest really long pieces of information. They're very distracted. They think in frames. So they want really small bits and bytes of information, small podcasts, small articles, little clips here and there, something they can read on the fly or get in one frame on their iPhone. So something really quick. They're really big on the whole authenticity, transparency. They want to know that it's real. They, like I said, they want to be able to peek behind the curtain and see that that brand is the same on the inside as on the outside. They want things simple. As I said, they're a little bit overloaded with information, so they want things simple. If they come to your location or to your website and it's congested or difficult to make a decision, they'll just walk on. So the iPod has been, and Apple products are so successful, I believe, because of the simplicity of the presentation. It just when you hold an iPod in your hand or an iPhone, it feels very sleek and simple. And they have these one-touch downloads and a 99-cent download. It's real easy and simple. You just touch a button. And even when you go to the Apple website, I think right now all they have on the homepage is the iPad. That's it. It's not all this junk floating around. It's pretty simple. They want to know that companies are truly dedicated to a social cause. They don't just want to see on your website that we give money to this and that social cause. They want to know that people inside your company, that you're actually out with your hands on a social cause. It's great that you give money, but they also want to know that you're actively involved, as in sweat equity.
Mm-hmm.
So the social cause and your involvement in it is really important. And then, of course, taking care of the environment. They want to know that you are making a move in the direction of taking care of the environment. I have a lot of clients that still want printed paper, and I decided a year ago that I was going to get rid of printed paper, and my office is almost paperless right now, and sometimes my arm gets twisted, but whenever I deliver a presentation, I let people know that I will not be bringing handouts. You will have to download this on the Internet. I'm a paperless organization, and I think this next generation is very, very concerned about our fiscal situation right now, so financial responsibility is big. They're also very concerned about the health and social problems that are being handed to them, and then, of course, issues with the environment. So if they know from really studying your business that you're involved and dedicated to these three areas, they'll be much more likely to want to look a little bit deeper in your business. Having said that, they probably are not going to do business with you unless your business has been endorsed by their friends.
Mm-hmm.
So you've really got to be on your toes, and you've got to get out there getting to know people that are between the ages of 22 and 33. They've got to know that you stand for them and that you're in there with them.
Wow, that's a very specific profile and illuminating trends that I can see also ripple out into other generations. Have you noticed that too?
I'll be honest with you, Adela. I think a lot of older generations are being impacted by this generation, and I say that because I'm a baby boomer, and my generation was always known for trying to keep up with the Joneses. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted to climb the corporate ladder and have the beautiful home and the beautiful car and the membership of the country club and da-da-da-da-da and be well-known in social circles. And many baby boomers were involved in social causes and in volunteerism because it looks great on a resume.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen that happen over and over and over again. And Gen Y is now saying, you got to get real. You know, you can't just do this. You can't just show up at a board meeting just so that you can put this on your resume. We want to see you be involved. So as somebody who sits on boards, I'm seeing boards get more and more involved really because of the push from younger members saying, we don't want to see a board that just sits there. We want to see the board get involved. So it may sound similar that people have had these norms and these values, but Gen Y is serious about them.
Yeah, and I think what I was thinking of.
Serious about them.
Yeah, I was just thinking of certain of the elements here. Since I've always hung out with the alternative crowd that wasn't necessarily mainstream business, it's certainly a lot of these ideas of freedom and thinking and divergent, you know, opinions and lots of, you know, mind-brain trust and caring about the environment and, you know, walking your talk. And in certain circles that I've been in for quite some time, and yes, this was a very small group of people, so I guess that I'm feeling a resonance, and my children are this generation, and I can tell you that they are to the point, and they are ruthless.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, I live in the South, and we're a little bit further behind on certain things at times, but I'm also working with a lot of corporate leaders that I'm just very surprised are somewhat stuck.
Mm.
They don't seem to get it. They're really ticked off at Gen Y. They don't understand why they need to be blogging. They're on Facebook under an anonymous name, or they like go on Facebook and their, you know, wife's account, or they're like, oh, I don't want to be on Facebook. I don't want anybody to know anything about me, that kind of thing. And I speak all over the country to different groups, and I'll do polls of audiences on these topics that I just presented, and about 20% of the people that I speak with are aligned. There's about 80% of the people that honestly don't get it. They're just sitting there looking at me like I'm an alien.
Mm.
So I think that in certain groups that are very open and have alternative views and have been for some time, you're absolutely right. They get it. I unfortunately have seen people that don't seem to get it. And I see organizations not making it because they're not getting with the times. They don't think they have to change.
Yeah.
So it's a sad state of affairs, but it's also evolution. It's, you know, as things evolve, businesses are going to die off, new businesses are going to come in, and it's just sort of the way business works. But if you really stand back and look at what's gone on in our country right now, and I'm talking about the United States, I know we have people internationally, but the whole world is having some financial problems and we're at war and so forth. If you really stand back and look at the decisions that have been made, in my opinion, they've been made through some very old school thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Some very old school thinking, really back to the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was one of my questions because it was about how have our eroding political and economic systems actually created opportunity for conscious business owners? Because I think as much as, you know, maybe 80% of people may seem not to be getting it, for those people that are getting it, this is an extraordinary opportunity, even though it seems like, you know, things are falling apart, and they are. What opportunities does this present for business owners now?
Well, I think there is definitely going to be opportunity, anything related to the environment, healthcare, and hopefully education. I do think our healthcare situation is going to turn, and I think there are going to be plenty of opportunities in healthcare. On the government side of things, I actually have been inside some proposals in the last 6 months with some pretty higher-up government entities that are very stuck, and they'll be the first to admit that they're still living based on some very old-school principles, even though their buildings are absolutely beautiful and very high-tech. Their whole leadership and their thinking is stuck back in, like, the 40s and 50s, and they admit that they are. But we have a new president that's younger in thinking. I don't know what's going to happen politically, but I would say if people could start looking in the direction of anything related to the environment, to sustainability, to health care, and education, it would be a very good move. Generation Y is saying, as collectively, they're all pounding their fists on the table saying the education system has to change, that we really need a different approach. And teachers all over the country are complaining about kids texting in the classroom and using Twitter, and, yeah, they bring their computers, but they're on Facebook. And my whole thought is, why are you not using those in the classroom? You should be using those in the classroom so they don't have to be sitting on their computer not paying attention to you writing on a chalkboard. So I feel like that's going to change, and I think there are going to be opportunities in multimedia, in education, in continuing education that are going to be connected to those three domains.
Yeah. I also remember that when we were talking, this is probably a couple of months ago now, that one of the things that you mentioned about this branding for the future was this desire, this craving by consumers and employees for inspiration. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think we have been so covered up in information. A lot of people have been talking about, oh, this is the information age, this is the information age, and now we're just drowning in information. And as you said, Adela, you can go anywhere on the Internet now and get information. You can go to YouTube and be entertained. But it's a very flat, it's not interactive. It's passive.
Mm-hmm.
You just watch and read, and you get covered up in more information. But what people really want is to feel a sense of connection and to be inspired to go do something. And I believe that happens through a collection of activities that really get you engaged. You have to get engaged. You have to get engaged with your mind, your heart, your conversation, your dialogue, people. And this is why something like Cirque du Soleil, I don't know if you have been to Cirque, but Cirque du Soleil is Gen Y's, one of their top, they'll spend a lot of money to go to a Cirque du Soleil show because you're inspired, it's beautiful, it's interactive, it's fun, it touches all the senses. And we actually interviewed someone that works for Cirque du Soleil and said that the interesting thing is Gen Y has come back again and again and again, and then they want to see how this works on the inside. They actually ask for tours of the backstage to see how they do what they do. And so I think that we've got to really start looking at getting off the computer and getting out into the world and using it, especially in the United States. One of the things with freedom of speech and freedom of press and so forth, we still right now have the ability to be very creative. And I think with creativity, dialogue, human interaction, using some digital media, we can begin a movement that is inspirational in nature, whether it be spiritual or through the arts or through the public spoken word. But I think that people are just missing so much that inspiration, and it could actually be that what's happened is we've all just gotten so isolated. And I know Gen Y is isolated. A lot of the studies are saying that this generation is, some people call them narcissistic, Dr. Jean Twenge, who studies this group all the time, and I had a very long conversation with her. She writes and teaches at San Diego State, said this generation is one of the most isolated, depressed, and anxious that we've seen in history. And if you think about it, I know myself, when I'm on the computer all day long, I'm in a funk.
Mm-hmm.
I get out. And I no longer get inspired by the Internet. There's nothing on it that can inspire me anymore. I've had enough. In the beginning, I was like, wow, this is a cool source of inspiration. And now I've really got to be amongst people. One of the things that was so inspiring for me recently, our local community did a three-day event that was a festival of sorts with great speakers and artists and music celebrating the South from 1920s, and I know that's taking us into the past. But it was such a source of inspiration to see where we were and how far we have come. Well, I wouldn't have gotten that on the Internet. There's just no way.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be in the middle of it and tasting the food and hearing the music and talking to people and looking at the person and interacting with other people at the end of a presentation. And it just made me realize how much we need to get back to these grassroots connections.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. It's interesting how the Internet has really opened up our ability to connect globally and across all different kinds of barriers and boundaries. And yet it's like we've come full circle, and now, informed with this collective global community, I think we're ready to bring it home and to connect locally. This craving also, not only for inspiration, but for the experience of experiencing whatever it is that you want to experience, whether it's someone else's business, whatever it is, making it real, making it palpable. You mentioned, engaging the five senses. People want to make it real. That's one of the things I've noticed, too. They want the real deal now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, I agree, and actually it's been so wonderful to meet people I've met on the Internet, because I have taken it several steps further. I go see people.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in New York, I'm calling up my New York friends that I've met through Coach Phil or on the Internet or in my business, and I go see them, and we hang out, and I spend the weekend with them. And, Jeff Simpkins is a partner of mine. I met him through a class. I go over to Charlotte to his lake house. And it's like I totally get that the Internet is where it's at, and it's not going to go away anytime soon. But I think the source of inspiration is out there in the world. And I do think that we can bring in all the elements we've talked about today, the digital media, movies, music, art, great food. There's some amazing things going on with food right now. That I'm a foodie, so you have to excuse me. But there's some amazing things going on in the food industry right now that just take your breath away. And you can't taste that by licking the screen of your computer,
Mm-hmm.
So I think you just have to get out and experience life and meet people and talk to them and do learn about history and also learn about how it's applicable today. And this arboretums or whatever it is your thing, go visit it, soak it in, and walk away with a renewed sense of what it is that we're here to do. And then certainly go take it back to the Internet, but I just think we've got to get a balance there. I think it's going to just choke us if we don't get away from it a little bit.
Yeah, and I do think that it is a deepening. I think it is an evolution of our connections, because I'm right there with you. I have met so many people that I've known online for years, and when we meet, we're friends, because
mm-hmm.
we've been in connection for so long, we've shared so much together that... The weave from being, connected on the Internet and in communication for years, when you meet in person, it's like it's all there. It's all present.
Mm-hmm.
It's extraordinary.
Yeah, it is. It's a great icebreaker. It really is. And Facebook was originally designed for college kids getting ready to go off to school so that you could meet people from your respective schools. And then the minute you see them on campus, you're like, hey, I saw you on Facebook, and so it's an instant connection. So
mm-hmm.
don't get me wrong. I think it's a great connector. And, we wouldn't have the Gen Y Project had it not been for the Internet. And I've met probably 60% of the people we interviewed. I've actually spoken with a couple of them at a conference.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like it's great to make these connections, but let's take it public. and start getting connected, because just talking to people face-to-face, you can get inspired. You can certainly get inspired over the telephone. I get that. But I think that when it comes to branding, people want to be able to, quote, experience your company off the Internet. They want to be able, and if you are the product, they want to experience you. They want to be able to meet you, to interact with you, to go to dinner with you, to play with you, whatever. And so I just think that it's got to become a little bit more, okay, we've seen the flat screen of you, now let's see the full 3D you.
Living version of you, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people want to know you. They want to experience you. They want a meaningful connection. Yeah,
yep.
Wonderful. Bea, any final thoughts on evolving your brand? You know, you've shared great information today about, you know, next gen and what's coming up, and it's not going to stop. You know, it's just going to keep moving. Any thoughts on how we can keep our businesses alive and constantly in movement?
Well, I think the first thing is get to know this generation. The ages 22 to 33, they've had a lot of rocks thrown their way and a lot of criticism, and they are our sons and daughters. If you're a baby boomer on the call, even if you don't have children, we raised this generation, and they're now here, and they've got a lot to offer. So if you want to really know how to brand your business for the next generation, I think you really have to get to know them. The second thing is I would start going in and out of companies that are hot with Gen Y. You can certainly bop in and out of any Apple store, spend some time at Google, go to Google headquarters in San Francisco. It's amazing. Stop at a Trader Joe's. Go to In-N-Out Burger. Look at these brands that are doing well with Gen Y and just hop in and out of the stores and think, huh, what is it that's so cool about this store? All you have to do is walk into an Apple store and you'll get it immediately. But I would really visit some of those stores and see how they're doing what they're doing, and then look at their websites. I would visit the store first if you can and then go to the website later because, as I said, I really want to hone in on getting that real up-in-your-face experience. And then I think it's time to get real. If you want to market to the next generation, you've really got to screen yourself, saying, do I think in an innovative way? Am I really dedicated to social causes? Do I really want to collaborate in crowds? Can I support that? If you go to nextgenerationbranding.com, you'll see some of the Gen Y norms and values. It's time to sit down and get real with yourself and think, am I someone who can stand can I make it through a reinvention? Can I really live this next generation branding concept? And from there, I think it's time to get clear on your vision, mission, values, and start coming up with a new strategic branding statement that will take you into the next decade. If you're still trying to rely on a brand that you developed about 10 years ago, there's a very good chance that it's no longer, it's just become probably obsolete in Gen Y's mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's time to start really restructuring, but only if you can live it. Because if you can't live it, it just won't work.
Yeah, back to that authenticity piece again. It's got to be real. It's got to be real.
It does.
Yeah. So, Bea, it's been great to have you here. Is there any other site that you want to direct us to besides Next Generation Brand, is it? NextGenerationBrand.com?
It's nextgenerationbranding.com. It's actually a new division of B-Fields Companies. I'm actually partnering with two business and high-tech gurus, Jeff Simpkins and Eric Cook. I'm bringing in the leadership development component. You can certainly go to bfields.com to learn more about B-Fields Companies. And then millennialleaders.com is, of course, the main Gen Y focus. And I would just encourage anyone that's on the call to reach out and to get involved in any of the programs or blogs that we have going and comment and send in questions. And I love hearing from people, so I would probably start with bfields.com and then nextgenerationbranding.com and start following our blogs.
Wonderful. Well, I'll make sure and send those out in follow-up links for those folks who will be listening to the replay and those who are a little bit more kinesthetic and just want to click the link. Because we do want to make it easy for folks. Yeah, that is one thing. We like it easy now, right? It's just, it's got to be easy. Yeah, yeah. But, Bea, it's been wonderful to have you here. Thank you so much. So remember, folks, beafields.com.
Thank you, Adela, and good luck with the telesummit. I applaud you for what you're doing, and congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to have you here, and I hope that you'll come back. Thank you so much. And thank you so much to everyone on the call today, and we will see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.